This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Thursday, January 12, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We're going to start with the upcoming, in about 48 hours, a little more, NFL playoffs, the Final Eight. I don't know if they call me Elite Eight in football, but it's the Final Eight. It all starts this Saturday afternoon at 4:30. Two games Saturday, of course, two games Sunday. The 4:30 Saturday game, New Orleans out at San Francisco. That's a Fox game. New Orleans actually favored, which is interesting to me. We'll go into these games a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. We'll have some picks, but New Orleans on the road is not what New Orleans is at home. Get them out of the Superdome. They're just not as good. They're unbeatable at home. You know, I think it's a fair statement. A lot of people in New York are saying that if the Giants upset the Packers, and even though the Giants have a chance, it still will be an upset. If they upset the Packers and New Orleans beats the 49ers, if the Giants have to go to New Orleans, they have less of a chance of winning than either in Green Bay or in San Francisco, and I totally agree with that. It's not about the Giants at that point, it's about the Saints and how good they are at home. But the Saints on the road, and they are favored. I think San Francisco has a very good defense. Harbaugh certainly turned them around, Jim Harbaugh. He and his brother, of course, are two of the eight remaining teams, his brother John with the Ravens. But Jim Harbaugh has done a great job at San Francisco. They are playing at home. New Orleans is a different team on the road than they are at home. So even though they're favored and they have Drew Brees and that record-breaking passing performance, I like the 49ers in this game. In fact, I pretty much like the home teams this week. Do I think there'll be one upset out of the four? I do. But not really believing that it's going to be New Orleans. But they're the team that is favored. Of all the road teams, they're the only team that's favored. So New Orleans at San Francisco, that's 4:30 Saturday at Fox. Then the 8 o'clock game Saturday night, which is a CBS game. Of course, it's going to be a ratings bonanza. Tim Tebow and the Broncos go up to New England to see the play the Patriots. And nobody really gives the Broncos a chance. I guess it's now the old, you have to give them at least a puncher's chance because they have Tim Tebow and a good defense. And Tebow really was the reason. You heard early on when he was winning those six regular season games in a row, you heard early on that it wasn't really Tim Tebow, that he was terrible for, you know, fill in the blank, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 55 minutes, and then he did something, but it was always the Denver defense that kept them in the game. And the Denver defense really hasn't been that good. You know, Von Miller hurt his hand. He was playing, and still is, I think, playing with a cast. And he just hasn't been the same player the last 3 weeks, the last three games. But the Broncos find a way, and this past week, of course, Tebow became an offensive star. Yes, he only completed 10 of 21 passes, but he took so many shots down the field and connected on so many long passes that he went 10 receptions for 316 yards. So there's a different dynamic to Tim Tebow and the Denver offense now. The Patriots, of course, not very good defensively. I'm expecting them to be better. Patrick Chung did get on the field and play last week for the Patriots, or the week before their final regular season game. Obviously, they had a bye last week. I think their defense will be better, but I think the reality is that, especially at home, I don't see how Denver's going to be able to stop the Patriots. Yes, they can do the long ground game thing and keep Tom Brady off the field and things of that nature, but frankly, the Patriots handled Denver fairly easily in Denver, just like 5 or 6 weeks ago, and you don't really expect the Broncos. I think the Tim Tebow ride ends here. Now, I didn't think, frankly, that Tebow could score on the Steelers, and he did. So, again, that's why you give them a puncher's chance. But and I think they will be able to move the ball on the Patriots because everybody moves the ball on the Patriots. But the Patriots do have a good habit of being kind of stingy, if you will, when they don't have to give up points, when they have to stop the opposition. They do give up a lot of yards between the 20s, but they have been able at times to bear down in the red zone to get big stops. And they do have Brady who can come down the field. I don't know what Denver's going to do with respect to the tight ends and Welker. Yes, it is fascinating because Brady also broke Dan Marino's record, and he did it really without a great wide receiver. And by wide receiver, I don't mean a slot guy like Welker or the two great tight ends that they have. I mean like a Randy Moss used to be with Tom Brady. Deion Branch is a very good player, and Tom Brady is like favorite guy to pass to of all time, according to Tom Brady. But he's not really a deep threat. You know, Ocho Cinco really hasn't worked out. They never seem to have been on the same page. There's been a few times when they've been close, and there have been a couple of receptions. I think, again, they'll trot out Ocho Cinco at times and maybe try and make him a deep threat. And I think they would have a chance against Denver to do that. Again, Denver's defense to me has been down a little the last 3-4 weeks. The Steelers were crippled offensively and still scored 23 points. Brady shredded the Broncos defense, again, 5 or 6 weeks ago whenever they played. And you would expect to see that a lot. The question is, can Denver go with the Patriots in that kind of scoring routine? And I don't think they can, even though obviously their offense was much better against the Steelers, whose defense is better than much better than the Patriots' defense. So, yeah, it could be a shootout, but even if it's a shootout, I think the Patriots win. They're tough at home. They manhandled Denver. Now, Denver's offensively is better now than they were 6 weeks ago, but defensively, I don't think they are. In fact, I think that was the turn of the Denver defense, coupled with Von Miller getting hurt. Miller was having an all-pro season, I think, until the last few games. And again, now he's hurt, and he's playing hurt. He's playing with a cast on one of his hands, and that's really affected him. But again, I think too much Patriots, you know, obviously not a surprise pick to pick the Patriots. But you do have to respect the Broncos and Tebow and what they've done and how they've changed their offense. You know, that famous conversation that Tebow had with the great John Elway where Elway told him to pull the trigger. And if you watch the game, and I'm sure you did, that's all Tebow did was pull the trigger time after time after time. He had 4 of the 6 longest pass plays against the Steelers, the number one defense in the NFL that the Steelers gave up all season long. So, again, the game plan was good. It worked. Tebow executed. You have to give them a lot of credit. But I don't think that's the problem here. The problem isn't going to be can Denver move the ball on the Patriots. The problem is going to be how can Denver stop the Patriots. And the answer might be that Denver goes, you know, more to the running game because obviously they're an excellent rushing team with Willis McGahee and Tim Tebow. Tebow takes a licking, keeps on ticking. I mean, it's unbelievable, but he is not Michael Vick. In two ways. He's not the speed runner that Michael Vick is, but more importantly, in terms of Denver and their offense, he can take the punishment. If any other quarterback, maybe other than Cam Newton, got beat up like Tebow gets beat up in the running game, they wouldn't be able to play. But that's part of what makes Tebow Tebow. Frankly, that's part of what makes Cam Newton Cam Newton. Although he throws it a lot better than Tebow, Tebow's improving. I think he's won over Elway and Fox. Hard to believe he won't be the starting quarterback now for the next few years in Denver. He's getting better as a thrower as well. Obviously, he's got a long way to go, but he's improving as a thrower as well. So a gigantic season for Denver to make the playoffs, to win a playoff game, and that was a home playoff game, even though they were an 8-8 team. You know, I think that rule should be changed. But, you know, it's the old, they won their division, they earned it. But again, 7-9 Seattle last year, beating New Orleans, 8-8 Denver. This year, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, you give them credit, but it really has become weaker teams can make it in the playoffs, in the NFL, in the NBA forever, in the NHL forever. And, you know, frankly, with the wild card in baseball, not as bad as the other sports, but still better than it used to be. We've harped on this before. Losers can win in baseball, and until they had the wild card, that never happened in baseball. And that, to me, is what made it different from the other sports. But that's irrelevant. That's an aside. The Sunday games, just briefly, Texans at Ravens. You know, there seems to be a number of people picking the Texans now. I don't see it. The Ravens tough at home, great running game with Ray Rice. Flacco's a good, not great quarterback, still have an excellent defense. You thought that defense was getting old, but they were great without Ray Lewis for those four games that Lewis missed. They still have some big playmakers besides Ray Lewis, so I think the Ravens will get it done. T.J. Yates played well last week, not great, but played well, kind of a manager of the game, but again, it's going to be very hard for the Texans to score on the Ravens, and the Texans do have a very good defense, but I think the Ravens have a good running game, and that'll set up Joe Flacco in the play-action pass mode that he likes to throw in. I think the Ravens, too experienced, too tough at home, and I give them a big shot, the Ravens, to not only get to the AFC Championship, but to win the AFC Championship. I picked the Patriots to go to and win the Super Bowl, and that was before they had all their injuries on defense. That was before the season started, but, you know, obviously I'm going to stick with that. But the Ravens, if it turns out New England Ravens, and obviously that's the 1 and 2 seed, New England the 1, the Ravens the 2. If it turns out to be the 1-2 game, the Ravens can certainly win in New England. They slaughtered the Patriots 2 years ago in the playoffs, you'll recall. So right now, that's the Sunday 1 p.m. game, also on CBS. So the 8 p.m. game Saturday night, the 1 p.m. game Sunday, both on CBS. The 4:30 game Saturday and the 6:30 game Sunday, both on... The 1 o'clock game Sunday is on CBS, Texans at Ravens. The 4:30 game on Sunday, Giants at Packers, both of those, the 4:30 game, the Green Bay game on Fox, the Ravens game on CBS. As for the Giants against the Packers, you know, everybody in New York calling it a replay of 4 years ago, not exactly. You know, it's hard to believe how Brett Favre has fallen out of the hearts and minds of Packer fans, but he has. You know, he stuck around an extra couple of years. He went to the Jets. He went to Minnesota. He was retiring and unretiring six times a year, it seemed like. He wasn't very good, obviously, in his last season. But Giants at Green Bay, to me, what's similar is when they did win the Super Bowl and they did beat Green Bay in overtime, the Giants finally had a healthy defensive line. The Giants' strength has always been their defensive line, their front seven. Makes their secondary much better when they can pressure the quarterback. Obviously, any secondary gets better when you can pressure the quarterback. The Giants now finally healthy. Justin Tucker's played hurt all year. He's been healthy the last couple of weeks. To get back O.C. Umanura, again, these are elite pass rushers. Throw in Jason Pierre-Paul, who's better than all of them this year. I mean, he's an all-pro. It's unbelievable how well he's played. So you have three guys who can really get after the quarterback, and you have other guys in that front seven. Boley's been playing fantastic. Canty's been playing well. So the whole key to the game, obviously, well, two keys, I think. Can the Giants rush the passer? Can they take Aaron Rodgers out of his comfort zone? We know Rodgers can move around in the pocket. We know he's not Michael Vick or Tim Tebow, but he really does have good. I think most NFL guys would say they'd rather have a guy like Rodgers who can run when he has to, but it's really not a main aspect of his game like it is Michael Vick or Tim Tebow. Cam Newton can throw it and can run it. He's the quarterback of the future, I think. But Rodgers, who has the ability to step back and throw it with the best of them, also uses his feet intelligently, and he can scramble. And you probably heard all week, they have to make him scramble to his left, not to his right. He throws on the run. He's very dangerous. Much as I love the Giants, I think it's the Packers game. I don't think Rodgers is going to make an incredibly stupid throw like Brett Favre did against the Giants in overtime 4 years ago when the Giants had that huge upset. against the Packers in Lambeau. Well, I shouldn't call it a huge upset, I guess, but it was an upset because it was in Lambeau. It was against Brett Favre. So I think the Giant dream comes to an end. Frankly, I hope I'm wrong, but I think Green Bay, even with their weak defense, gets by the Giants this weekend. That, again, 4:30 on Fox, 4:30 Eastern this Sunday afternoon. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up.
Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, sticking with the NFL for a while, some interesting things happening in New York. An unnamed New York Jet said that Mark Sanchez was, quote, lazy and content, close quote. Of course, he didn't put his name to that quote, gave it to a writer for the Daily News. Nick Mangold, who's an excellent player and a good guy, said about Sanchez, quote, I've never seen anybody work as hard as Mark, close quote. So obviously there's a conflict there within the locker room. Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, has stepped down, you know, almost under mysterious circumstances. Nobody thought he was going to be back as the offensive coordinator. I thought he was over-criticized myself. I think if you watch game film of the Jets the first 2 years when they made their run to the AFC Championship game both years, especially in the playoffs, I thought he made some excellent calls to almost protect Mark Sanchez in terms of play action, rollouts, etc. Sanchez still, after 3 years in the league, is simply not a guy who can get the ball, drop back, throw the ball vertically down the field. As we've discussed all season, the improvement arrow on Mark Sanchez never pointed up this year, ever. And you almost wonder now if the Jets are concerned, is he the right guy? You know, after 3 years, you should have a pretty good idea. Not after one, not after two, but after three, maybe four, you should have a pretty good idea. Now, Tony Sperano, the former Dolphins coach, has been named the offensive coordinator of the Jets. The Jets already have shaken up their staff. Offensive line coach Bill Callahan, who was once upon a time the Raiders coach, is expected, you know, his contract expired with the Jets. He's expected to be the Cowboys offensive line coach. Receivers coach of the Jets, Henry Ellard, won't be back. His contract expired. Defensive line coach Jeff Weeks won't be back. So clearly the Jets are making changes. You know, I don't know if you can blame the coaching staff. I think it's just the wrong group of players. They had such a good group, and we've talked about it before, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but I'm sure I will. But, you know, guys like Alan Faneca, Jericho Cotchery, Tony Richardson, the fullback, who was a part-time player but a big leader in the clubhouse. They let a lot of guys go who were really good character guys, Thomas Jones. And I think that's really hurt the Jets. I think they thought their arrow was pointing up, and it just wasn't, and it all came crashing down this year. But even more interesting now is the talk in New York as to whether or not the Jets should go after Peyton Manning if the Colts decide to trade Manning or cut Manning. They have a $28 million payment they have to make to him in March. I think he really wanted to come back and show them he was healthy, and he was unable to do that, Peyton Manning, with the Colts. But the Colts did win the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. Now the question, of course, is will they draft Andrew Luck? And that decision is going to rest mainly on their new general manager, Ryan Grigson, who had been the Eagles' personnel director and did help put together what was not the dream team this year. But, again, if you watch them at the end of the year, they might be a dream team next year. But in Indianapolis, there's new, you know, they fired both of the Polians. Irsay fired both of the Polians, so the guy who comes in, who is now named yesterday Ryan Grigson, has to decide whether to give Peyton Manning that $28 million bonus. I'm sure Irsay, the owner, will have a lot of input into that, obviously. Have to decide who to take with the top pick in the draft and or to trade it. You know, do they take Andrew Luck? If they're going to take anyone else, they obviously should trade it. Is Jim Caldwell going to be back? 2-14. Is it his fault? No Peyton Manning. Team collapsed like a house of cards. So that's probably the, I won't say the toughest job, but has the most important decisions, franchise making, saving, ending decisions to make really in the next few months. Again, you keeping the coach, who you taking with the top draft pick, or are you trading the top draft pick? Are you giving Peyton Manning his $28 million in March? Very interesting stuff going on in Indianapolis. But getting back to the Jets, the back page of the Daily News today has a picture of the Empire State Building in the middle with Eli Manning on the right, obviously the Giants quarterback, and Peyton Manning in the Jets uniform. I guess they can Photoshop these things now, unbelievably. With Peyton Manning in the Jets uniform on the left, and the headline, of course, is Man City, M-A-N-N. And, of course, inside the headline is the Mannings can take Manhattan, M-A-N-N-Hatton, ha, ha, ha. But that's what's being thrown around in New York City. And if there's a decision that Sanchez is not the guy and Manning is close to healthy, maybe they should take a flyer because a guy like Manning will play another 3 years. He's not a one-and-done quarterback. So we'll have to see, but that's really the talk in New York now. It is really interesting. And again, when you have headlines like that and pictures like that, of course, those pictures, as you know, are designed to sell newspapers. And I think people will buy a newspaper when they see that. They might think already that a Jet, that the Jets are doing something that hasn't been announced. But, you know, it's a Mike Lupica column, and the headline is Peyton, Eli would be kings of the Big Apple. Not will be, of course, but would be. So we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out. But Indianapolis, more than any other team in the playoffs, has some gigantic decisions to make in the next few months. And Ryan Grigson, former Eagles personnel director, is the guy who's going to make them. A few other things. Raheem Morris just fired as Tampa Bay coach. He's going to be the defensive backs coach of the Washington Redskins. Robert Griffin III, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Baylor, is going to go pro. Not surprising there. He's ranked, of course, as a high first-round draft pick. And again, he's one of those guys who can throw it and run it, the quarterback of the future to me. Are you going to be a guy who throws, who runs it more, Michael Vick, although now Vick certainly in the last 2 years has become as much of a thrower, or, you know, a Tim Tebow who would still view to be a runner as opposed to a thrower, or are you going to be more of a Cam Newton or going all the way the other way in Aaron Rodgers, who has the ability to run and does run, but only at certain times, you know? Or are you going to be more of a pocket passer, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning? Really, there's such a wide disparity of quarterbacks now. But Robert Griffin, I think, can play in the NFL. Again, a lot depends on who drafts him. That's really how it works nowadays. You got, well, it's really always been like that. You got to get into the right system. But Robert Griffin will be going pro. Now, interesting today on ESPN, I heard a thing talking about Eli Manning and the fact that Eli Manning has three postseason wins on the road, and if he could beat Green Bay, of course, they were all in the Super Bowl year. You know, you don't count the Super Bowl as a road game. That's a neutral site game. But he has three postseason wins, and if he gets another one at Green Bay, he ties the record, the all-time record for postseason wins. And for some reason, they don't want to say that's held by Mark Sanchez. And on the one hand, that's a great credit to Sanchez. On the other hand, I'm sure a lot of people say, well, Mark Sanchez won four games on the road. How tough can it be? So it is a team game, but for a quarterback to win four road games in the playoffs obviously is a big deal. Now, keep in mind, you can play three road games every year now in the National Football League playoffs. It never used to be like that years, decades ago. It used to be like one road game, maybe two road games. But now you can play three before the Super Bowl. And, of course, that's what the Giants are trying to do now. They did it back in 07 into 08. And we'll just have to wait and see. Packers have an additional problem, as you know. Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator, his son was taken out of a river in Wisconsin. passed away at the age of 21. No foul play suspected. Obviously, it's crushed Philbin and the Packer family. He's going to bury his son tomorrow, Friday. No word yet whether he's going to be around on Sunday. That's a very difficult thing to deal with. The Giants, of course, at Green Bay on Sunday at 4:30, as we talked about. Green Bay, the heavy favorite. I don't think it should be like that. But Jason Pierre-Paul with that guaranteed 80% guarantee we're going to win. You know, you don't really pay attention to guarantees in New York. There's Joe Namath in the Super Bowl, the greatest one ever. There's Mark Messier once in the playoffs in 94. But, you know, we had over a decade of Patrick Ewing guarantees, and we've had other guarantees. And, you know, they just kind of go in one ear and out the other. When Namath did it, it was shocking, and they were 18-point underdogs, and they won. When Messier did it, it wasn't shocking, but it was surprising. And that's when they beat the Devils in Game 6, and then they beat the Devils in Game 7, and then they won the Stanley Cup against Vancouver. But nobody really cares about, you know, guarantees per se, I think, especially in New York. Yeah, it's news. Yeah, it's reported. Yeah, people talk about it. But really, I don't even think anymore that it's viewed to be a big deal. And we've heard a lot more losing guarantees, if you will, than we have heard winning guarantees. A few other things, a few Major League Baseball notes. Believe it or not, Bud Selig at 78 gets a contract extension from the owners. Originally, he didn't want the job, and then he always said, I'm going to retire. This year, he said he's going to retire. But apparently, the owners don't believe him. Maybe he's having too much fun. At the end of the day, and you can talk all you want about how much Bud Selig has done for the game, to me, at the end of the day, he's going to be the commissioner who resided over the steroids era and didn't do anything until way, way after the fact. You know, he can blame it on the players. They wouldn't go for it in collective bargaining, and he's right to some degree. But there seemed to be, after the 94 strike, no World Series, still hard to believe, no World Series in 94. Great question. Who won the 1994 World Series? You can stump a lot of people with that question because there wasn't one. But he did do a lot of good things, but between the All-Star game, home field advantage for the winner, strikes me as absurd for the winning league. And more importantly, the steroid stuff where, I'm sorry, you went and saw these guys and they were gigantic guys. I remember I saw Mark McGwire at Shea Stadium on a doubleheader, took my son when he hit both his 50th and 51st home runs of the year. And I remember him in batting practice hitting 10 or 11 balls in a row over the left center field bleachers. If you know the old Shea Stadium, they had that picnic area out there. And it looked like he was hitting in a little league park. And when you see the before and after pictures, now or then, you knew this just wasn't a guy physically maturing. Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds. I mean, when you look at the before and after pictures on these guys, they look like the Hulk after. So I think it was the old, everybody was kind of hoping against hope. I can't believe people didn't know. Certainly a lot of people thought. Very few people wrote or talked about it. But this all happened on Bud Selig's watch. He can talk about how great the program is today all he wants. The reality is there's still no test for HGH. And as we talk about in the Olympics from time to time, the bad guys seem to be a step ahead of the good guys. When the good guys finally get a test for one of those drugs, they just find another drug. So, again, it's all irrelevant. Bud Selig getting another extension. I guess he's going to go into his 80s as the baseball commissioner. And if you look at the attendance records, et cetera, now, to me, the attendance records in New York, the attendance is down. The Yankees way overpriced themselves. Maybe didn't think the recession applied to the Yankees ticket buyers. The Mets, you know, they don't put a good product on the field. They're losing a lot of money every year. But baseball's popularity, at least attendance-wise, is supposedly at an all-time high. I don't know if that's true. Everybody doesn't play baseball today. When I was a kid many years ago, everybody played baseball. It was the number one sport by far. I still think it's the best sport. And yes, it's the national pastime, but it's really a football country. New York's still a baseball town. Boston's still a baseball town. But I think countrywide, it's kind of a football country. I think that's where we are now. And I think a lot of that has to do with gambling, but that's for another time. The point is Major League Baseball owners giving Bud Selig an extension. Other baseball news, the Washington Nationals are said to be serious now about signing Prince Fielder. They're meeting with his agent, I think today was the announcement. Certainly, if you drop the Fielder in the Nationals lineup again, what a division that NL East is going to be. We always talk about the AL East with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays, but now you're going to be talking about the NL East with the Phillies, of course, still the leaders because of their pitching, and Atlanta and the Marlins making some big moves, and now the Nationals giving Jason Worth all that money last year, getting Strasburg back from the Tommy John surgery, maybe bringing Bryce Harper this year, if not next, 2012, if not 2013, the top minor leaguer. And now if they can get Prince Fielder, I mean, that would be stunning. And who's left out in the cold there in the NL East is the New York Mets. But if the Mets can get Santana back, they can drop a number one into their lineup, a number one pitcher, and that's what they need. One other baseball note, bankruptcy court. For the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are in bankruptcy, there's a settlement. That Fox TV network will have the exclusive rights to buy the Dodgers TV rights through November 30th of this year. That allows 2012. That paves the way for a sale of the team by the court-ordered April 30th date. And we've been through the various groups. Joe Torre has a group now, and Larry King has a group, and Oral Hershiser has a group, and Mark Cuban wants to buy them. So there'll be some healthy bidding between now and April 30th when the court is supposed to approve someone to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that someone will have the right to negotiate only with Fox until November 30th. Presumably Fox will be able to get a deal done with them and keep televising Los Angeles Dodgers games, a very valuable commodity, especially if Vin Scully's sticking around, which apparently he is. This is Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm
slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to switch to the NBA now. Interesting games yesterday, a number of them. I know it's early in the season, but these are interesting matchups. Miami in Los Angeles at the Staples Center to play the Clippers. A very meaningful game now as opposed to a year ago. Blake Griffin and Chris Paul team up to beat Miami. Clippers 95, Miami 89. I mean, again, to me, the woes that plagued Miami last year and cost them the championship happened again last night in Los Angeles. LeBron James gets fouled going to the, you know, back and forth game, close late. LeBron going, Clippers up two on a foul by LeBron as Chauncey Billups goes up for a three. Billups, over 90% foul shooter. LeBron says he didn't foul him too close. You know, it's the old, you can't let the ref call to you on a guy taking a three. Billups makes all three to put the Clippers up two going down the stretch. LeBron goes to the basket and takes that lefty layup, which I think is a shot he should not take. He does get fouled by DeAndre Jordan. He goes to the line. He makes the first. He misses the second. Clippers still up one, but Wade on the rebound and the miss makes a great play to keep the ball with Miami. Wade, if you saw the play running out of bounds, throws the ball off of Jordan, so it's Miami ball. James gets fouled again down low, misses the first, makes the second, ties up the game, so he goes 2-for-4 to tie up the game. If he goes 4-for-4 or even 3-for-4, Miami has the lead. In any event, Paul makes a nice move but misses at the buzzer, so they go into overtime, and then in the overtime, the Clippers pull away. Clippers 95, Miami 89. Again, this is a very, very big win, I think, for the Clippers. You know, gives them the credibility. Yes, they have Griffin. Yes, they have Paul, but can they beat a top team? And they did yesterday. Miami drops to 8-3. The Clippers only played 8 games. They're 5-3. But Paul, 27 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. That's what he's there to do, set up Griffin, run the show, do some scoring. Griffin, 20 points, 12 rebounds, you know, and a great assortment of dunks, of course. Caron Butler, another good pickup for the Clippers, 20 points, 4 rebounds. So the Clippers are a good team, and this DeAndre Jordan, 8 points, 11 rebounds. He's the, you know, tough defensive guy that a team like the Clippers needs to protect the Paul or a Griffin when they get beat. And Chauncey Billups has been a big addition as well. The Knicks had to let him go. 12 points, 6 assists, 39 minutes. Billups is a big-time player and I think the best foul shooter in the league. So the Clippers have a very good team. The big three from Miami played well, but not well enough. LeBron, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. Wade, 17 and 7 rebounds. Bosch, 16 and 11 rebounds. But just not enough. The Clippers outscore the Heat 9-3 in overtime to win 95-89. Again, to me, that's a signature win for the Clippers, who moved to 5-3. And now they've just started playing together, et cetera, et cetera. They have a lot of new pieces to the puzzle. But you have to give them a lot of credit because that's a big-time win. And that's the kind of win that propels them to beat all the lesser teams. Another interesting game, the Mavericks in Boston to play the Celtics. And I think, frankly, these are two teams whose time has come and gone. The Celtics, to me, just too old. The Mavericks, to me, as we've discussed and will discuss all year, no J.J. Barea, no Tyson Chandler means no championship. But the Mavericks go into Boston yesterday, lead virtually the whole game, up 9 going into the fourth quarter. They hold on to beat the Celtics 90-85, Dallas 90, Boston 85. Rajon Rondo, 24 points, 7 assists, not enough. Dirk, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Jason Terry, still the best sixth man off the bench, 18 points, 4 steals. Sean Marion, 15 points, West, 12 points. Haywood, 8 points, 11 rebounds. I don't think Haywood takes the place of Tyson Chandler, though. Vince Carter now, a terrible game, and the Mavericks still won. Carter 1 for 8 for 4 points. And don't get me wrong, Mavericks have a very good team. I don't know what's up with Lamar Odom. Only played 15 minutes yesterday, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, those are good numbers for 15 minutes, but to me, he should be a feature player there. I don't know what's going on with Lamar Odom. Certainly didn't want to leave Los Angeles, and the Laker players didn't want to lose him as well. But Dallas with a good win, they go to 6-5. Boston still struggling, they go to 4-5. And if Boston is struggling early in the season, I think that's going to be a problem for them late in the season. And I don't care what Dallas does, I'll say it again. For years, Dallas was always that excellent team, couldn't get over the hump, a number of excellent offensive players, always needed that defensive stopper. They finally got him, and then they let him go after a year. And Barea was that ridiculous matchup in the finals, as you saw. Another interesting game, the Lakers go into Utah, and in overtime, it's the Kobe Bryant show, 40 points. 8 rebounds, 4 assists. In overtime, the Lakers 90, the Jazz 87. Pau Gasol hits the big 3 late. Bynum blocks a shot by Al Jefferson very late. And that really was the ball game. Lakers 90, Utah 87. Paul Millsap, 29 points, 9 rebounds for Utah. Very good, very underrated player. Al Jefferson, 11-11. I just don't think Utah has the firepower, although give them credit under Coach Ty Corbin, they're 6-4. And frankly, that's surprising to me. I think they're about a 500 team. But Millsap is underrated. Jefferson is a walking double-double. Howard gets 18 off the bench for him. But the Lakers on the road move to 8-4 with a very good win. Lakers 90, Jazz 87. One other interesting game, Orlando goes up to Portland, and I think the Trailblazers are a very good team, as we've discussed. I mean, they got Aldridge and Matthews, Wallace, Felton at the point, Camby, and they got Crawford, another excellent sixth man, coming off the bench, Batum as well. But yesterday, you know who Orlando has, they got the big man. Yesterday, the Magic 107, the Trailblazers 104, and really the Magic were killing the Trailblazers in this game. But the Trailblazers made a big comeback. Not enough, but they made a big comeback. outscoring the Magic 36-22 in the fourth, but they lose by three. You know, Dwight Howard, 13 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. Very good numbers for a big man, obviously. Orlando goes 7 guys in double figures. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Anderson, Nelson, then Hedo Turkoglu, all with 16 points. Jason Richardson with 15 points. Turkoglu, 4 for 6 from 3. Orlando, 16 for 27 from 3. That's why they won the game, 59% from 3. I mean, that's unbelievable. And in the world of the NBA today, Orlando goes 59% from 3, 58% for the game, 47% from the free throw line. That's hard to do. 9 for 19 from the free throw line, if you can imagine. But they still win the game. Stan Van Gundy would have pulled his hair out if his team lost because they couldn't make a free throw. LaMarcus Aldridge, an all-star for Portland, 23 points, 8 rebounds. Again, they have a very good team, Portland. I think you're going to hear from them. But Orlando with another big win for them. Can they talk Dwight Howard into staying? I don't think they can, but certainly they're going to make an effort to. A few other games to talk about briefly. In a game of good, in my opinion, good mid-level Eastern teams, Atlanta goes into Indiana. Pacers win 96-84. Granger with 24. Roy Hibbert, the big man, with 11 rebounds, led the team. Josh Smith with 16 for the Hawks led the team. Don't know if there's something wrong with Joe Johnson. Just hasn't been scoring like he used to. The Kings beat the Raptors 98-91. Cousins, who I guess stayed because Paul Westphal was fired, 19 rebounds. Evans, 29 points. They have a decent young team, Sacramento. Barbosa with 24 for the Raptors. The Knicks beat the 76ers, who had been on a 6-game winning streak. Knicks 85, 76ers 79 at the Garden in New York. Carmelo with 27. He shot poorly, but he did have 27. Tyson Chandler with 13 rebounds. Turner with 16 for the 76ers. A couple of other games. The Thunder beat the Hornets 95-85. Kevin Durant with 29 and 10 rebounds. Carl Landry with 17 for the Hornets. The Hornets, of course, not a very good team. I'll tell you what. When they had that deal for Chris Paul where the Hornets were going to get Gasol and I think Odom, I mean, they would be a much better team now. I understand they're trying to, I guess, grow for the future or get draft picks or whatever, but they're going to have a very difficult year this year after trading Chris Paul. The Bulls beat the Wizards 78-64. Derrick Rose doesn't play. John Lucas takes his place and scores 25. Luol Deng with 15 rebounds. Chicago 78. The Wizards 64. Spurs beat the Rockets 101-95. Parker with 28. Duncan with 11 rebounds. Lowry with 22 for the Rockets. Spurs doing pretty well without Ginobili, 7-4. You know, for the Spurs, it's make the playoffs and get healthy. The Nuggets also moved to 7-4. They beat the Nets 123-115. Going to be a long year for the Nets. They're 2-8. Danilo Gallinari, the former Knick, with 22 points to lead the way. And that's pretty much it for all the NBA games yesterday. Maybe we'll do a little standings tomorrow. Only a couple of games in the NHL. A couple of interesting games, though. Pittsburgh and Washington, who you would expect to be in the mix for the battle to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, are right now, after last night's game, a Washington 1-0 win. They're tied for 8th place in points. The Capitals shut out the Penguins 1-0. First time the Penguins have been shut out all year. Thomas Vokoun, a very good goalie, 30 saves. Now, the big news in hockey is Sidney Crosby was cleared to at least skate. Not play, but skate with the Penguins on this road trip that they're on. He was in the press box yesterday. but he will be skating. Still has those lingering concussion symptoms. Hasn't played since December 5th, after being sidelined, of course, for almost a year. So Sidney Crosby still out, but getting permission to skate. Again, he's the difference between Pittsburgh being a Stanley Cup team, in my opinion, just a playoff team. Jason Chimura scores the only goal of the game for the Capitals, his 14th of the year from Halpern and Ward. Fleury played a very good game for Pittsburgh, but not enough. Thomas Vokoun shuts out Pittsburgh. Washington 1. Pittsburgh nothing. The other game yesterday, a late game out in Edmonton. The Devils beat Edmonton in overtime. Devils 2, Edmonton 1. Hedberg, the backup goalie, you know, Brodeur has not been having a good year. He's been pulled 3 times this year, something, of course, that was unheard of years ago. Martin Brodeur today isn't the Martin Brodeur of all. But the Devils win yesterday 2-1 with Hedberg in the net. Ilya Kovalchuk scored on a breakaway in the first in the second period. I saw some of this game, his 17th of the year. Hemsky scores his 4th to tie it in the third period, sends the game into overtime. So, of course, Edmonton does get a point despite losing. But 1:06 into overtime, Zach Parise scores his 15th of the year from Eliash and Kovalchuk. The Devils, of course, in the playoff mix now. 24-17-2, they're ranked 6th in the East. But that's a nice win on the road. Not that Edmonton is that good. Frankly, they're not that good. But anytime you can win a game on the road in the NHL or the NBA or the NFL, that's a big deal. So quickly on the standings in the NHL, Rangers still have the most points in hockey. 27-9-4, 58 points. The division leaders are the Rangers, the Bruins, and Florida. Philadelphia is ranked 4th now with 54 points, Ottawa 5th, New Jersey with 50.6, Toronto 7th, again Washington and Pittsburgh tied for 8th with 46 points, Winnipeg in 10th with 45, Buffalo with 41. The others for now pretty far back. In the West, Vancouver has returned to the top points-wise, 27-14 with 3 overtime losses, 57 points for Vancouver. St. Louis and San Jose, the two other division leaders. Chicago ranked 4th now with 55 points. Tied with St. Louis, but St. Louis has the tiebreaker right now. The Red Wings with 53. Nashville with 50. The Wild have fallen back 50. Los Angeles in the 8th spot with 49. Then again, there's always a bunching here in the West now. Dallas and Colorado with 47. Phoenix with 46. Calgary with 45. Then it's far back to Edmonton, Anaheim, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Looking quickly now at the TV stuff for tonight. Lots of college basketball. And we'll just give you a listing of the games, and these times are all Eastern. Well, first let me do the basketball. Knicks at Grizzlies, 8 p.m. Eastern. This is a TNT national doubleheader. Knicks at Grizzlies. Magic at Warriors. I like the Knicks, but the Magic at Warriors is an interesting matchup. Mark Jackson with the Warriors, obviously. The Magic on that road trip with a good win yesterday, back-to-backs today. That's an 8 o'clock Eastern doubleheader. With, of course, Magic at the Warriors right after the Knicks at Grizzlies. Hockey, the NHL Network has the Canadiens at the Bruins. The Bruins, of course, the defending Stanley Cup champs, playing better now. If you get MSG, Senators at the Rangers, 7 Eastern. Flyers at Islanders, 7 Eastern. The Canadiens at Bruins on the NHL East Network, 7 Eastern. Number of college basketball games, I'll give you the highlights. Wisconsin at Purdue at 7. Virginia at Duke at 9. Both of those games on ESPN. And the late game, 11 o'clock on ESPN2, Gonzaga at St. Mary's of California. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.